What words of instruction, words not just of advice, but words of how we are to live out our Christian lives. And the point that he's making, of course, in the midst of all of these things, is that we are not to make room for the devil. Don't make room for the devil. But he tells us the things to avoid, the things that are common, I guess, with all of us, the things to avoid so that you don't make room for the devil within your life. Making room for the devil. He points out the ways in which if we allow evil in, if we allow something other than God's grace to become even a minor priority in our lives, that we in effect have made room for the devil. And, you know, once you make room for the devil, it goes from there. The devil is delighted, and the devil will take over and deceive you at the same time, because the devil is always the great deceiver. So he starts off in verse 25 saying, "So then, put away falsehood, let us speak truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another." He's saying, don't lie. Don't lie, especially when it hurts other people. Don't lie for the intention of hurting other people. And don't think, well, it's just a little lie. It's just a minor exaggeration. It's just a point of me sharing my frustration with this person, so I'm going to exaggerate that point a little bit so that others will know how bad it really is, how bad it really makes me feel. And so I'm going to do that. And the writer here says, don't speak falsehoods, especially if it involves hurting another person. If you're like me, somewhere in my childhood, I don't know, I wish I could remember who said it, but somebody said, if you don't have anything good to say, just don't say anything at all. And I thought, yeah, we've all heard that, right? I'm not the only one. They didn't just tell me, did they? But I didn't see any hands. Oh, dear. So I always thought that was very important. Of course, I thought, well, then I'm probably not going to talk a whole lot. But anyway, it's just one of those things, but it's very true. If you say bad things about people, then are you really showing them the grace of God? Are you really demonstrating to them that? And then if you lie about people, aren't you just hurting them? You are, in effect, we are making room for the devil within our lives. The next verse is also extremely interesting. The ways in which we make room for the devil. Be angry, in verse 26, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Uh-oh. I'm afraid I sort of fail at that one too. I hope that you are able to deal with your anger. Be angry. Such an interesting thing for the Bible to say to us. Be angry, but do not let the sun go down on your anger. So in other words, he says, we are emotional people. We have emotions. We have strong emotions. Anger is one of those very strong emotions. So understand your emotion. Be angry, but do not let the sun go down on your anger. In other words, be angry. Understand why you're angry. Get that, and then allow it to go away. It's not the same as stuffing it down and saying, I'm just not going to pay any attention to you. You're bad, and I don't want you in my life. And then we've just made it stronger. Be angry, but don't let the sun go down on your anger. In other words, deal with your anger. Bishop Spain, who is a marvelous, he's deceased now, marvelous bishop at the annual conference, he filled in for a while as interim bishop between Bishop Bethay after Bishop Bethay passed away. And Bishop Spain was very much beloved in South Carolina. He lived up at Lake Junaluska in his retirement, lived at the old train depot there on the lake. If you've ever been there, they turned it into a home. And so he lived there. And one day he was talking to a group of us, and he'd been up in retirement there, and he said, we have one guy, he said, drives us all crazy. said, we go to the post office. He's a retired United Methodist minister because, you know, a lot of them live up there around the lake. And he said, every time he comes in, he's griping about the appointments he never got, the appointments that he thought he should have gotten, the churches he was not allowed to serve, even though he knew that he should serve there. And he said, I got just months after months, every time you'd see him, that's what he was griping about. And I guess he was griping to Bishop Spain because he was a bishop, and I guess he felt like Bishop Spain was somehow responsible. And he said, finally one day I said, why don't you just deal with it and let it go? You're retired. You've been retired for years up here, and you're still angry over things that didn't happen in your career. But why don't you deal with your anger? Why don't you let it go? If we don't deal with our anger, then guess what? We're making room for the devil. And the devil loves that. The devil loves it because it's that point of vulnerability within our lives. Be angry, but don't let the sun set on your anger. Be angry, understand your anger, but then let it go. Give it to God. Pray about it. If we don't, then we're making room for the devil. Verse 28, he talks about thieving. Thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their hands so as to have something to share with the needy. Very clear, very understanding. Going back to the Ten Commandments, do not steal. So it's very clear. You go, of course, that's exactly right. That's exactly what I should make sure that I never do. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands if anybody in here has ever stolen anything, but that's not really the point. The point is that if we do, then we're making room for the devil. But the point is also, what is the consequence of someone stealing something? You know, on the parole board, we get to read victim statements for someone who's coming up for parole. And I've always been interested because we deal with a lot of burglaries and a lot of people in prison for burglaries. And I'm always interested in what the victims have to say about the person. You would think they would say, don't let them out because they stole, you know, broke into my house, did a lot of damage and stole things and things that cost me this much, insurance paid this much, but I still am out this much. And you get some of that. But the number one thing that is constantly repeated in the victim statements over burglaries, over someone breaking into a home where there was no threat of life, you know, a home where no one was at home. The number one thing is that the victims say, now I feel vulnerable. Now I'm afraid. Now I know that my home could be broken into and somebody could come and take my stuff. And now I'm not comfortable in my home and I've moved, but I still have that fear. Vulnerability. That is the number one victim complaint. Not that their property was stolen, but that now they live in fear. They feel vulnerable. Maybe that's what the writer here was trying to point out more so than don't steal, but don't do anything that makes someone else feel vulnerable, that makes them feel like they're not capable of handling themselves or their situation. Don't do anything that makes someone else afraid. Because then you have made room for the devil in your life. You made someone else feel vulnerable instead of comfortable, safe, and secure, which is really a lot of what we should do as Christians anyway. He continues on in verse 29, let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up as there's need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. So your words may give grace to those who hear. Now, what the writer is saying is, if your words do not give grace to those who hear, then you are making room for the devil. You're making room for the devil in every way. I was just this past week talking to someone, and she was talking about family gatherings on Sunday afternoons, if you remember that, where families used to get together on Sunday afternoons, the whole clan would get together because everybody lived around everybody. And Sunday afternoons, all the children would be there, and all the family would sit around, talk, and visit and everything. And then the adults would say, you children, y'all go out and play. And she said, we would go outside. And then, because it was before air conditioning, she said, then we would walk around the corner and listen through the window, because then we knew the good stuff was going to be told, the really bad stuff. And she said, so we would listen to what they had to say. The point is that if we say words that are not filled with grace, someone is listening. Guarantee it. You're not just speaking to yourself. Someone else is speaking. Someone else is hearing. And then also, you never know who is listening. Nowadays, Alexa is always listening, and she records everything you said, and it's stored on the cloud, so it'll be there for 10 million years, so who knew? But not just Alexa, but other people hear that you are not speaking words of grace, that you are not speaking words that build up, that you're speaking words that bring down. Someone hears that and they internalize that, and then that becomes a point for them of making room for the devil. So you're not only making room for the devil in your life because you're not building up, you're tearing down, but then also you've affected or maybe infected those around you as well. Those children listening at the window to what hateful things perhaps their family members, their adults, were saying. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, because then you're making room for the devil. And do not, in verse 30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Now, I confess that I'm sure many times I've grieved the Holy Spirit of God. I understand that. The Holy Spirit of God is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, three in one, one in three. The Holy Spirit is the full manifestation of God, three in one, one in three. So we grieve God. And how do we grieve God? Might go back to when the scriptures talk about blaspheming the Holy Spirit and how that is the unforgivable sin, to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. And some people think, well, that's to use the Holy Spirit or God's name in vain. But it really goes deeper than that, too. It is to reject the Holy Spirit. In other words, to say, even though God's Spirit is saying, understand, receive my grace, understand my love, understand the great sacrificial love of Jesus Christ, the power of the resurrection, have faith. And when we reject all of that, the work of the Holy Spirit, then that becomes, according to Scripture, the unforgivable sin. So I think it must have something to do with that. We're not rejecting the Holy Spirit, but we're grieving the Holy Spirit. We're not rejecting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We're not rejecting faith, but we're living as though we don't have faith. We're living as though we're not really Christians. We're living as though we don't really trust in God. We're living as though we don't have to walk in godly paths, in ways that God would have us to walk. We're living as though all of that does not matter. And I know I'm preaching to the choir, literally to some of the choir, but to the choir, I understand that as well. But I also know that is our tendency as Christians, to live the way that we desire first and then to follow God second. Sometimes maybe almost a tie. Sometimes God's ways, of course, supersede everything. But a lot of times it's as though we're not Christians. A lot of times it's as though we don't have faith in Jesus Christ. A lot of times it's not like we can say, Lord, I'm giving this to you and I trust you to handle this situation and I'm not going to worry about it anymore. I'm going to have faith that you will work out these things. If we do anything less, then we're grieving the Holy Spirit. And when we grieve the Holy Spirit, guess what? We're making room for the devil. We're making room for Satan to say, see how easy it is? You can live like everybody else. You don't have to worry about, am I following my Christian calling? Am I being a disciple of Jesus Christ? Am I bearing the name of Christ into all the world? And you're making room for Satan to say, see? See how easy it is in the midst of that. And then he gets to the easy part. Put away from you bitterness and wrath, anger, wrangling, slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. Okay, so y'all handle that, okay? Y'all got all that? Got all that. Let's see, verse 31, chapter 4, Ephesians. Let's just memorize that so we know what to do. Bitterness, wrath, anger, wrangling, slander, malice, all those things we need to get rid of. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. I think he's saying simply there's a negative way to look at life, a negative way to live life, a negative way to emphasize our emotions and our interaction with others. And then there's a higher way, perhaps the positive way, forgiving one another, being gracious, accepting, and loving one another. I think he's saying you basically have those two channels that you can follow. And if you get confused and you're over here sometimes and you're over there and you're sort of jumping back and forth, guess what? You're making room for the devil because you're really not following the path that God has for us. Because we know that God is God of unconditional love, complete forgiveness through Jesus Christ, through the blood of Jesus Christ, and a God who redeems us, changes us. A God who says redemption is always there, always available. And if we do anything else, then we're simply making room for the devil, making room for the devil in the lives of others, making room for the devil for ourselves by choosing the negative instead of the positive, choosing the hateful instead of the loving, choosing the unforgiving versus the forgiving, accepting the fact, indeed, that redemption's always possible. It's interesting, isn't it? It makes Christianity seem a little bit hard, doesn't it? You start to go, wow, we have some demands placed upon us. The gospel is that. The gospel is the love of God offered to us freely through Jesus Christ, and then also the obligations of living the way Christ would live. And it's wonderful that we have the two verses right there in chapter 5. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and live in love. And live as Christ did, offering himself as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Live in love and live in such a way that others can see Christ in you as you offer yourself as an offering and sacrifice to God for others. As we do these things, then we are not making room for the devil. If we live our life in love, if we offer ourselves as a sacrifice and offering to God, then we are not making room for the devil when it is so easy to accomplish just that. I pray indeed that we will grow, that we will experience, that we will look, examine our discipleship and our way of walking in Christ, so that in every way we can know those times when we are making room for the devil, those times when we can change that behavior as well. Let us pray.